Support for 89.7 NPR News comes from the James at Ohio State. The best outcomes for treating cancer come from early detection. The James Cancer Diagnostic Center is designed to provide rapid evaluation and a clear diagnosis to those who suspect they have cancer. Learn more at cancer.osu.edu/diagnosticcenter.
This podcast was recorded Thursday, March 19th at 10:52 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear this. Yeah, like Congresswoman Joyce Beatty will more carefully check her email inbox for important invitations from the White House. Let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those Snollygosters, those shrewd politicians who blame their spam filter for missing an email from the President of the United States notifying them of an important meeting of the Kennedy Center Board. That is one selective spam filter. I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up in the podcast, Vivek Ramaswamy thinks Ohio has too many universities. But first, data centers are shaping up to be a very important topic in the 2026 campaign. Ohio has become fertile ground for data center construction. The state has some 200 data centers. It's the fifth most in the country. At first, companies were building them near cities. The Columbus area has more than half of the state's data centers. Metro Cleveland and Cincinnati have a couple dozen each. But more and more computer companies are looking to rural areas to locate the centers. You know, they sound so complicated, so technical. A data center, so high-tech, even futuristic. But what they are warehouses filled with computers that are filled with processing chips. All those servers and chips power computers for storage and processing information. You know all those vertical videos you watch? They pass through a data center. The big new thing is artificial intelligence, and all that fake thinking needs a lot of computer processing power. And those computers don't run themselves. These data centers need a lot of power to run the computers and keep them cool. Utilities struggle to keep up. They must expand the grid, bring new generation online, and the question is, who is going to pay for it? Residential electric bills have already risen because of the increased demand. And these centers need a lot of water to keep those servers cool. So that's another issue. At first, communities in the state fell over themselves to attract data centers to their communities. It's pretty cool to have Google or Meta in your little town. And the thinking goes is that data centers will bring in other companies. Local communities offered tax breaks. The state offered incentives. The state does not even charge sales tax to data center firms when they buy equipment for their facilities. But as electric bills rise and the data centers start to encroach upon suburbs and swallow up farmland, suddenly they are not so cool. Politicians are hearing from voters, and politicians are starting to say, whoa, hold on. Are data centers worth it? This week, a group of people in far southern Ohio, along the Ohio River, submitted petition language and signatures in an effort to win passage of a new constitutional amendment that would ban large data centers in Ohio. It's the first step in a difficult process. The group must collect more than 400,000 valid signatures in the next 3.5 months to get on November's ballot. Joining us to discuss this effort is Nikki Gerber. She's the co-organizer of the group. She is not a politician. She is the owner of Moon Doggy Livery in southwest Ohio, which rents out kayaks and canoes on the edge of Appalachia. Nikki, welcome to Snollygoster.
Hello.
How are things in southern Ohio?
Well, they are beautiful in southern Ohio, besides this battle with our local officials and trying to get information about data centers.
All right. Well, looking at the map, the most recent map that I saw of data centers in Ohio, I don't see any in your immediate vicinity. Is that map accurate? And what do you have against data centers?
Yes, the map there right now, there isn't any data centers in the area. There's a proposed deal that's not done yet, according to our commissioners, but if you drive up Ginger Ridge Road and Lake Skillet and US 52 in front of the site, you can see that work is clearly being done. We've ran up on EnviroCorp up there drilling in the roads. Loggers are out clearing all the easement lines. There's a lot of stuff going on for a project that's not done.
Mm-hmm.
And we've asked our officials, our commissioners to go if they would put a moratorium in place for the last 3 weeks. And they've declined, and they said it's not in their power. They actually, last 2 weeks ago, they told me to go get the signatures that they're not going to put a moratorium in place. So,
your amendment would ban data centers that consume 25 megawatts or more of electricity. So you're looking at larger data center. I guess the average, from what I saw, the average size of a data center is 40 megawatts, consumes 40 megawatts. So you're looking at on the bigger side of these, right?
Mm-hmm. So, we're facing a hyperscale, a big one. They're supposed to be bringing in 1300 megawatts of power. And I think that's changed according to a recent WCPO9 article. I think they're actually now projecting it to be 1300 gigawatts, but I'm not sure on that. And if that is the case, if you see a regular 200 megawatt facility, those are projected to run about 5 million gallons of water a day. So if you're looking at 1300 gigawatts, how much water is that going to use? And according to AI, it says there's 29 proposed projects all along the Ohio River. So what does that do really for the Ohio River?
So your motivation is more about water than electricity consumption and farmland?
My biggest question is, yes, what happens to our aquifer? Mm-hmm. All of our water is pulled from the aquifer, and the aquifer affects every private residential wells. It affects the streams. It is our little springs that we have down here all over our farmland. We have lots of aquifers all over the county because of how geologically biodiverse this area is, that there is lots of ways that these companies could tap into our water.
Mm-hmm.
And actually last night I went to our water department on Tuesday and I wanted to ask them questions. I've tried a couple times and they really couldn't answer anything, but this time they did say, get me a list of questions together and send it over. So I did that last night, and I'm hoping to hear a response.
So going to the Constitution is a big deal. So this would severely restrict data center construction all around the state, not just your neck of the woods, but all around the state. Why go for that? And you sound like you've been very active locally with your local officials. Why are you going big statewide constitutional amendment? What's the strategy there?
The strategy there is that the local officials won't listen and they won't do it. And we, the people, there's a problem all over the state of Ohio right now. And you can see that from the Facebook groups that are out there. And politicians all over the state of Ohio aren't listening. And it's upsetting because a lot of the people really do have a concern, and we are the people, and that is democracy.
Mm-hmm.
So our money that we have to pay taxes on is what pays for officials, right? Well, I feel like the only people they're looking to benefit right now is not the people of their counties or jurisdictions. It is the energy companies. I mean, everybody wants to talk about First Energy being how data center boom became a gift to First Energy and a nightmare for everyone else. First Energy is built on bribes, and it really feels like the data centers are built on bribes too.
Uh-huh.
And
how about the jobs? I mean, these data centers, when they're being built, a lot of even Democrats aren't necessarily opposed to data centers because at the very beginning, anyway, let's talk about the beginning, the construction. There can be hundreds of folks who work on the construction of the data centers, and it can take a year or two to build them. Wouldn't the construction jobs help your region of the state?
Not really. They're not going to provide local construction jobs. As much as I've seen, I visited the New Albany location, and I mean, HIT Construction's right on site. The white buses are coming in, picking up the construction workers right from there, taking them to a different site, one of the facilities that's in the area. And it seems like HIT Construction, we have local people here that travel all over the country to build data centers. Mm-hmm. So that right there tells me something all on its own.
Couldn't they stay right in your backyard now and build the data center that's up the road from you?
They could, I guess, for a couple of years, but then they're just going to keep traveling all over the country again. And
yeah, that's the argument. Once they're built, they need relatively very few people to work in these data centers, you know, a couple dozen at most, even for a larger data center. So you don't think the jobs long term are worth the cost.
And And what are we building, Mike? You know, at the end of the day, it's you're building. I mean, I think, I don't know, if our unemployment rates aren't looking too hot, mm-hmm. there's more people being laid off all across the country. And that, I feel like, is directly related to the data center and artificial intelligence boom. You know what I mean? It's replacing jobs all over the country. And if we keep building it bigger and we keep making it more powerful, what are we doing for our future generations?
Let's get back to your campaign for a minute. You got your 1,800 signatures fairly quickly to get it before the Attorney General. Now Attorney General Dave Yost has to approve the language of your petition. If he does, then you have to get 413,000 valid signatures from all around the state from registered voters. In reality, you need probably double that to guard against invalid signatures, people who sign twice, people with bad handwriting, you can't read their names. How are you going to collect, let's just say, 700,000 signatures in 3.5 months?
Well, right now, we already, as of Monday, we organized the Ohio Residents for Responsible Development Facebook group, and we are breaking that down into different sections, such as Southern, Central, and Northern Ohio, so that we could tackle it as a region. We could have people organized in each region to do things. We're starting to host some events, contacting our local travel and tourism bureaus to see what events that we have coming up in our areas until June, and attempting to set forth a campaign, I get, you know what I mean? Organize an event.
Do you plan to hire, a firm or a firm that would have paid signature collectors, petition gatherers?
Not at this time. Yeah. That hasn't been discussed yet. Yeah. So right now we're just trying to organize it ourselves. I feel like we collected those signatures in only 8 days. Mm-hmm. And most of those signatures of those 1,800 came from Adams and Brown counties, which is a very low populated area.
Yeah.
So we are just attempting to organize all the people that we already have, see what everybody brings to the table, and go from there.
All right. Well,
we don't have the monies to, you know what I mean, to really to hire people like that.
Yeah, so it's a very tall order. I mean, we just saw with the group that was trying to overturn the ban on hemp products, they fell short and they only had to collect 200,000. They had a couple of months to do that. It's a very tall order. But you certainly have. I mean, this is a big issue. Even are you just trying to at the very least trying to get lawmakers to pay attention to this issue and do something about it? Because I think, as I said at the top of the podcast, they are hearing from voters, both in cities and in rural areas, who really don't want these data centers in their backyard, whether it's in a place like yours with a lot of hiking trails and scenic areas or farmland. So at the very least, are you trying to get attention and force lawmakers to act on this?
We are trying to force lawmakers to act on this. Yes, we don't want to take the foot. I mean, AEP came out again today and said we're going to see another 40% increase by April. I mean, who's footing the cost of all this? Who's paying for the infrastructure, for the 20-inch water lines to go 20 miles? Who's paying for all the wastewater treatment plants? Who's paying for those things? Because the way I read all these emails, it's Jobs Ohio or All Ohio Future Funds or somebody else besides the developer. Mm-hmm. So it feels like the developer's getting everything at no cost. We're footing all those costs in water bills, in electric bills, and we've got our way of life got to be disrupted for technology that's going to end up replacing my grandkids' jobs.
Yeah. Nikki Gerber, co-organizer of the group looking to ban large data centers in Ohio. The effort to put this on the ballot as a proposed constitutional amendment is underway. We'll see how it turns out. We admire your passion, regardless of how we feel about the issue. We love to see people getting involved at a local level and trying to do what they think is right and change people's minds. So, Nikki, we appreciate your passion. We appreciate you joining us here on Snelling Oster.
Thank you, Mike.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to Snelling Oster. If you like what you hear, please give us a good review on Apple Podcasts or whatever platform you are using right now. And don't forget to tap the follow button or subscribe or whatever it is to make sure you don't miss an episode. And thanks. You know, no matter what you think of his positions, Vivek Ramaswamy is not afraid to take bold positions, at least at first. The Republican started his campaign for Ohio governor looking to eliminate income taxes and property taxes.
We need to bring down property taxes in this state immediately, eventually down to zero.
He and his campaign later clarified that position. Now he wants to lower property taxes dramatically. And this week, he was caught on video targeting Ohio's colleges and universities.
I love universities in Ohio. I want us to have the best universities. But we have too many of them.
Absolutely.
They need to be consolidated. And when you consolidate them, they can actually be centers of excellence who are actually the best in their respective domains instead of trying to create replicas and clones of one another throughout the state. Just one example among many.
After the clip went kind of viral and the criticism followed, Ramaswamy's campaign said he does not support eliminating universities, but cutting the bureaucracy that burdens them to make college more affordable. Still, Democrats say the comment shows that Ramaswamy is, quote, out of touch with Ohioans, which will be their theme throughout this campaign. So we took a look at the numbers. Here they are. According to the Ohio Department of Higher Education, the state has 36 public 2- and 4-year colleges and universities, 74 independent institutions, and 49 technical centers. That's a fair number of colleges and universities in this state. Families are not having as many kids, so the number of potential college students is shrinking. Add in that more and more young people are trying to avoid college and the debt that comes along with it, Ramaswamy may be saying out loud what many in academia say privately. We'll see how it plays, though, when you go to try to close your local community college or local state university that's perhaps struggling a bit. It's hard to close schools. Just ask any local school board.
This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube. But what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.
Time now for our Snollygoster of the Week segment, where we honor the shrewdest politician or political move of the past 7 days. I know we just gave it to him when he was walking in the cold, blasting ICE, not the ICE, weather, icy weather, but the Immigration Service. He was blasting ICE in the Trump administration. But this week, we have to give it again to John Kasich. This week, he criticized Jobs Ohio, the state's publicly funded but privately run economic development agency. He criticized the agency for paying $60,000 to sponsor 4 episodes of a podcast hosted by a woman linked to the sudden resignation of OSU President Ted Carter. Kasich wrote on social media that he was extremely disappointed in Jobs Ohio for the sponsorship and worried the agency was drifting away from its mission. Well, it's very hard to know if Jobs Ohio is spending its money wisely, because Governor Kasich and the legislature at the time set it up as a private entity. The public cannot see the details of its spending. Even current Attorney General Dave Yost, a fellow Republican, called out Kasich, telling him to look in the mirror. Yost wrote on social media that when he was state auditor, he wanted to audit Jobs Ohio, but Governor Kasich successfully fought it off. So, for now, pointing fingers at a secretive organization he set up, former Governor John Kasich gets our Snollygoster of the Week award. That will do it for this week's edition of Snollygoster. We are a part of the NPR network. For our digital producer, Michael DeBonis, and our audio engineer, Dalton Jones, I'm Mike Thompson for WOSU Public Media.